Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
In the first part of this series on Hindman, Kentucky, Kelly Haywood visited the county seat of Knott County to speak with tourism officials, residents, and project leaders to hear about the efforts to transition in Hindman's economy toward one that builds upon the resources currently available in the area. In this segment, Haywood joined staff of the century-old Hindman Settlement School to discuss their place within the community and how they use their historical perspective to envision the future. Jessica Evans, Assistant Director of the Appalachian Artisan Center, also continues the conversation along with artist Sean Starowitz.
What I'm hopeful for is that we will be able to dream big. It's more opportunity than it is otherwise, I believe, in East Kentucky right now. It's just getting people to see that, to see the current situation we're in as not hopeless, but to see it as a big opportunity.
Yeah, we have to help people be aspirational. For whatever reason, that's become difficult around here. From where we sit, we don't think it is. It's just a matter of really connecting the right dots for folks.
That was Brett Ratliff and Brent Hutchinson of the Hindman Settlement School in Hindman, Kentucky. Ratliff is the program director, and Hutchinson is the executive director of the first rural settlement school founded in the United States, which has stood in the same location in the city of Hindman for over 100 years. In our first segment of this series, we explored the background of an economy long dependent upon the coal industry, an industry which is producing at the lowest levels seen in Kentucky since 1954. With the help of grant-funded programs that have ambitious goals to diversify the economy, hope has returned to some residents of the town and surrounding areas. It is obvious, however, that there is still a way to go to boost morale and help others to dream big. The long-established settlement school is well-positioned to play a big role in that process. Brent Hutchinson.
One of the things that we have increasingly focused on is helping to undergird the community in such a way that people can live the life they really want to live, but that they can thrive in it. And, you know, it's not really our job to tell them what that looks like. It's not government's job to tell them what that looks like. They can decide that for themselves because they have a rich heritage and they have a strong sense of place. Anybody from the mountains has a strong sense of place, whether they love it or not. It's their place. And when we build on that and we begin to accept it for what it is and then learn how to kind of weave through whatever obstacles might be in our way, we have a real chance to not only survive, but to thrive. And I think so many people have a survival mentality. Well, here at the Settlement School, we really want people to not only make that journey, but to realize that along the way, they can claim things about the culture around them that really make them feel good about themselves, that make them feel good about their community, make them feel good about their families, whatever that looks like. You know, we don't live in a place where everything is within the same reachable grasp as it might be in an urban environment. That's okay. We don't sit here and think at all that we want to transition this place to look like everywhere else. We want to be proud of the place we have. Ultimately, it's a philosophical sort of decision, you know, that we want to undergird the community in those ways. But then it becomes tactical. How do we really help people do that?
When focused on feeding our families, or if the mountains will provide our children with the opportunity they need to fulfill their life plans, it can be difficult to think beyond the next payday or to become motivated to be part of the rebuilding of a sinking economy. Yet Brett Ratliff points out what the settlement school has always known, that we in our very way of life have a jumping off point, and Hindman is aimed and ready to fire with the promotion of our cultural heritage and folkways.
I think that Hindman is very well positioned. We definitely have the infrastructure in place. We have a small population, but I think that on whatever scale we can make it happen, that Hindman can be a model town for how this can be a successful economic transition in the mountains. One way forward for the East Kentucky economy is to transition to a heritage-based economy where it serves as a foundation for other types of industries to be able to grow, but we need to first focus on our strengths, who we are, our traditions, really play off of those in a way that we have a strong cultural identity, we have a strong tie to this place, and that ends up being first and foremost who we are, and from there I feel like that we then begin to grow upward into things like attracting new types of jobs, new types of industries and things like that. But first, we got to figure out who we are and how to best take care of ourselves.
As Ratliff talks about rich tradition and resiliency, it is clear that Eastern Kentuckians have a long history of making do. So often we've heard someone bragging on Mamaw's pie or the cedar hope chest Dad made our sister when she married, and they would respond, "Aw, that ain't nothing, just a little of this and that." As we are taught to make do, we are also taught not to be prideful about the ingenuity it takes to make material beauty out of a life here. In that sense of carving out a life from the scrap pile, and not bragging that we have somehow managed to make it beautiful, it has become easy for us to take for granted the asset we have in these unique abilities, and to fail to see them as viably useful. Jessica Evans, Assistant Director of the Appalachian Artisan Center, describes what their recently added Museum of the Mountain Dulcimer does to uncover the importance of our traditions, not just to outsiders, but to ourselves.
The exhibit walks you through the history of a gentleman named Uncle Ed Thomas, who was a very prolific dulcimer maker from Knight and Letcher County. More than anything, I believe people want to see things happening in the downtown storefronts. With the school groups, what I really stress to them is your history is really fascinating. Uncle Ed Thomas and Jethro Amber, you really were pivotal players in the history of the dulcimer as we know it in the nation. Also, Gene Ritchie, who brought all of these traditional mountain ballads to a wider audience and gained worldwide fame in doing so. These are songs that these children may actually have heard their grandparents or their parents singing to them as a lullaby at night. They really need to take note of that and realize that it is important. I think it's common for people to take that for granted. Sometimes it takes a museum exhibit to show somebody, hey, it's worth putting down on paper.
Even when we recognize the power that our history and traditions hold, it is natural to feel discouraged when we see before us a path that doesn't meet the needs of all the residents of our community. From these conversations, it becomes evident that we have two options. We can stay, take a risk, and try to plug in to be part of the solution for the region. Or we can go to an area where there are more direct opportunities and make a new life for ourselves there. Part of the choice to stay is to understand, as many of those who have chosen to make Heinemann home know, we must be versatile. Sean Starwitz, one of the first artists to rent space in the Cody Studios of the Appalachian Artisan Center, explains how not putting all our eggs in one basket is a positive approach to providing yourself an income as an artisan.
There's certain aspects of the artist and culture world that is driven by like capitalistic gains, but for the most part, I think being an artist is a way of engaging in the world. And I don't think artists should ever be dissuaded by having a straight gig. That is also a way of building new communities, because you're going to engage with your coworkers, whether you're flipping burgers or, you know, I worked as a bread baker for 5 years, and that community of bread bakers also became a part of my art community too. So they would come to community events and they would come to gallery openings. So I think there is that level of the straight gig that actually expands the art community, and we shouldn't be discouraged by that, because then also you bring that into your work. Finding balance between levels of how you support your practice and what opportunities lie out there. If you want it bad enough, you'll make it work regardless of money. That type of resilience has been in this region for a long time.
Brett Ratliff.
I stay very optimistic, but I have to, because I'm kind of doing this work to help build our interests and our infrastructure and cultural heritage. I believe in this model as a way forward for our community, and believing in that model means that I have to believe that it'll work, and I do sincerely believe that, because it goes beyond our financial concerns, which are very real, but we have such a wealth of culture here, and really looking around and assessing where we're at with that. What are our cultural assets to be able to build upon? And I feel like that is a way that we can start to change people's hearts and people's minds and the way that we perceive ourselves, and really do a lot to battle that sense of hopelessness that people tend to have around here.
Hutchinson explains how he feels the long-standing settlement model has a place in molding the future of Heinemann.
The best ideas come from within. The best ideas come from the people who live right here, and that matters to us a ton. We don't want to do anything without being sure that it's in step with the community. One of our founders said that we want to learn all we can, but also teach all we can. The verbs in that phrase were positioned adequately. You know, we learn first and then we teach. And so that idea of listening and being involved in the community, but also offering something that the community may not have, that we build on the strengths that are here, that's really the settlement model. And for us, it's been a driving force behind what we do for a long time. So does Heinemann Settlement School have a part in the future of Heinemann? Absolutely. I can't imagine it without it. What exactly does that look like? It's not completely up to us. And we're okay with that. You know, it's a strange sort of dichotomy of being historically important, but also at the same time being one member among many, and knowing that we have a critical role to play, but also at the same time the ability to be shaped by other things that are happening around us through organizations and people who are doing really incredible work.
It is certain that those working toward the future of Heinemann are driven by willpower and results without losing momentum when looking at the restrictions of finances or timelines. They see what their town has to offer, and they believe in it fully.
That's really the way that I describe what I do. I'm just the person that does what needs to be done. On some days, what needs to be done is taking out the trash and installing hardware on doors. And we're very small staff at the Artisan Center. We have a common vision, which is good. And I always like the tactile quality of just doing something. That's like the artist in me coming out. I want to see tangible results.
So we don't have one place where there's a critical mass. It's all spread out. So I think that if we are diligent about working together, that we can make something very special happen.
People may not stay in Heinemann when they come to East Kentucky, but they'll remember their stop here. They'll remember what they saw. They'll remember what they did.
This is Kelly Haywood for Real People Radio, WMMT.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.